and welcome to a very special 13th Manx 40 part of the season. On this week's podcast, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by youthy duo Harry Weatherall and Rory Poole for the first ever outside broadcast. Chaps, welcome along to this historic broadcast. We're almost live from the Track School Room, aren't we?
The not-so-secret location.
Yeah, the not-so-secret location of the Trafalgar Pub in Ramsey. I'm looking out the windows, a very idyllic day for it. It was a lovely drive over the mountain, wasn't it, Dave?
It was. Did anyone see the tweet?
We think we had 2 likes, which is a record for us.
It is.
Harry, well done. Thanks for coming in. Why am I saying well done? So, well, thanks for turning up, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Thanks, Rory, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no worries.
And continuing the day first, you even just got around in, Dave?
I have. It happens once a year.
So what are we drinking? I suppose we give that a plug.
Well, this is the Track's finest. I'm not actually sure what it's called, but
it's called the Trafalgar House.
It's a beautiful bitter, so it's really
Rory
good.
Rory knows it's a nice drop, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being pro athletes, though, the boys aren't having any alcohol.
No, they're on the diet coke. I must admit, I'm on a half, you're on a full, but there's pictures of that to later come. Yeah. And we're on the Viennese Milk Chocolate Foxes Whirls for Andy Ball. Rory, what do you think?
I mean, I like them, but I'm not really sure what Ball is going to have to say.
I think he quite likely does like something that puts a bit of effort into a biscuit. That's more than a bog standard biscuit.
It is.
Yeah,
you can guarantee one thing though, that he'll be having biscuits in Hawaii right now.
Yeah. Is he in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Is that why he went up front for the combi the other week?
Yeah. To protect himself.
Yeah, I thought he'd just been dropped, but there you go. All right, lads, before we get swept up in the giddiness of Ramsey, I suppose we better talk about the topic at hand, shouldn't we, Dave? Manx football.
If you start the season, it's been, you got off to a flyer, and the last couple of weeks it's been a little bit tricky, hasn't it?
But, yeah, delicately put, Dave. Right, I suppose, Harry, just a few weeks ago, you looked like you were going to run away with the league, but that's 3 defeats and a bounce at coming in.
Yeah, 4 in the last 6, I think, isn't it? It's been a...
Yeah, well... Going back to pre-season, we had a really, really solid pre-season. Everybody was at it, you know, coming down Tuesday, Thursday, working hard, you know, 2-hour sessions. Like I say, everyone was just firing going into the start of the season. And for the first 5-6 games, we had the same 11. We had a really solid, like, foundation to the team, and we had a very, very good balance to the team. So we had, like, Glenn McGovern playing left-back, Anthony Bale left-wing, 2 natural left-footers, then there was himself right-back, Steve Gross right-wing. You know, 2 natural right footers, and it just gave us a really, really good balance to the side, like coupled with Declan Cummins, John London, Andy Cleater in the midfield. As your midfield 3, that's near enough as good as it gets on the island. And then, like I say, we started off really well. We beat Paul Rose 4-0. We got a 3-0 draw out of air, which is a tricky game anyway, so we take that. Beat Onken, and then we won the next couple of games. And then, for whatever reason, I think it's with people having work commitments or injuries or suspensions, we haven't had the same 11 available, so we've had to chop and change a lot in recent weeks, and we've just lost the balance to our side. I think Glenn's working a lot. You know, obviously, he's got family support, so that takes priority. Anthony Bale at the minute is injured, and we've missed his goals as well.
Oh, yeah, he's flying at the start of the season.
He was absolutely banging them in. I mean, and I'd never really seen Anthony play, let alone play with him, and just to see, like, he scored this goal against Onken. It was absolutely brilliant. It was almost impossible to do. It was like, I think it was Steve Gross whipped in a ball from the left.
From his left foot, I would say.
Yeah. Anthony Bale, like, ran out of the area to meet it, sort of thing, back to goal, just a scissor kick straight into the bottom corner. It was absolutely unbelievable goal.
I think Griezmann scored a similar goal.
Yeah, there you go.
This week.
Griezmann was much closer. Honestly, it was literally one of the best, like, in terms of improvisation, one of the best goals I've ever seen over here. And we've missed Anthony in recent weeks because he's...
He's
quite greedy as well, but I mean that in a good way. So he'll pick up the ball and he'll just go at players. He'll go at players and just try and get himself at half a yard just to get a shot off, and we've just missed that a bit in recent weeks.
So do you think, looking back, I was there on Saturday at Billy Goat Park, one of the few. Although there was a groundhopper there. Did you see that this week, Dave?
Yes.
One of these groundhoppers that goes around collecting grounds, and he was at the game on Saturday with his camera, and he's done a little blog about how his experience at Foxdale.
He was the Island game as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did 2 for the price of 1. Was that the sort of, you were missing Anthony's cutting edge up front on Saturday? Because you were in that game, you were boss that game for maybe 70 minutes.
Definitely. I mean, we created chances. I mean, we did create chances in throughout the game up until we conceded, really, which deflated us. But I mean, Declan had a good opportunity straight from kickoff, you know, and as soon as Declan's had that chance within the first 30 seconds, instantly our confidence just skyrocketed, and we were just instantly on top. Obviously, Stuart Fayle pulled off an absolutely brilliant save from Lewis Moran. I mean, I was stood right behind Lewis when he hit that strike, and I was watching it. Looked in all the way, and the ball was moving through the air. And Stewie, I mean, he's a big lad. He was at full stretch, just gets his fingers to it, tips it onto the bar. And it was just, you know, you start to think maybe it could be one of those days. And we had quite a few other opportunities. Like, Steve Gross had a good opportunity, hit the side net, and he's a bit unfortunate. And obviously, at the start of the second half, Stewie's pulled off a few good saves. But I do think we are lacking at the minute just that out-and-out goal scorer, which Anthony is, despite him being a winger. He always gets himself into those right areas just to pick up like a loose ball. And that's what a lot of his goals have been. They've just been like, you know, where a cross is coming to the box, it's ricocheted around the box, and he's just there just to stick it in. And that's what we've missed.
So despite the scoreline, I mean, it sounds like you can take a lot of positives from the game. I mean, at least for that first 70 minutes. Yeah, definitely. In case your so-called biggest rivals.
Yeah, because we had five players out for that game as well. That's going back to us not having a settled team. Against Foxdale, we had about five players out. And we just dominated the game. You know? We just played so well. And then their goal put them 1-0 up. I mean, to be fair, it was an absolute worldie. Yeah. You know, if it had been scored in a professional game, being replayed for years and years, the way that the lads took it on the volley out of the sky, across the goal into the far top corner, it's just like, and that just knocked the stuffing out of us. And then, like, we were looking for a reaction, and Liam changes to a 3-5-2. And then, which has worked for us in recent weeks. I mean, we played that against Malou, and we absolutely destroyed Malou playing that formation. And then, so we changed as a reaction, which was good to see, you know, to try and remedy it, to try and get back into the game. And then basically one of our lads like slipped in centre midfield, lost the ball, they pounced on it, and then put a ball through, made it 2-0, and that just really, really like killed us, just knocked the stuffing out of us. It was just a shame because we just didn't deserve to lose that game 4-0.
And the pitch as well. We talk about the pitch. Neither side was able to play much football on that pitch on Saturday. It was getting heavier by the minute, really, wasn't it?
It was. But when we came out for the warm up, I mean, that's my first ever time at Foxdale as well. First time I've ever played against them.
Second division football, mate.
Yeah.
I honestly thought when we got there, it's a good little setup down there, and I don't actually think the pitch is that bad. When we were walking across it to go off the pitch to warm up, it seemed really heavy. But then once we actually started playing, it didn't actually seem all that bad. And in terms of a setup down there, it is actually really good. Yeah. But they're not the best team that we've played this year.
No.
Obviously, you know, you've got to give them credit because they are where they are in the league, and they're beating teams. And it sounds ridiculous to say that we were, like, for large parts of the game, the better team. We've walked away with a 4-0 defeat. But I just think there's better teams in the division than Foxdale. I think Castletown are a much better side than they are. Paul Rose are the best side that we've played, despite the fact that we beat them 4-0 first game of the season. There was large parts in that game against Paul Rose where we were hanging on. And I think if Foxdale were to go up, which, to be honest with you, now it's theirs to lose, really, given where they are, I'd fancy them to come straight back down, really.
So we'll talk about Paul Rose, because obviously you're playing them on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're very much a team in form. You've talked about a lack of goal scorer at the moment. They seem to have got three or four.
The abundance, I mean, they already had a potent strike, but now they've added Mark Priestnell to it as well. You know, most defences aren't going to look forward to that. But so this run of form, obviously, for you guys, does it make this game even bigger than it was?
To me, it's our biggest game of the season. I don't want to put pressure on the boys, but that's how I view this game, because we've lost four games now. I think if we lose another game, then promotion's going to be beyond us. I know everybody's beating everybody else, but to me, this really is the biggest game of our season now. If we win tomorrow, in my eyes, we can still get promotion. And I think with a settled side, I honestly think that we're more than capable of going from tomorrow until the end of the season unbeaten. If we can get that balance back to our side and that 11 that we had at the start of the season, we are more than capable of doing that. I think if we lose tomorrow, then we concentrate on like the Woods Cup, concentrate on finishing in the top four for the Paul Henry Gold Cup, maybe, you know, focus on going on a good run in the FA Cup and the Hospital Cup. Saying all that, it is going to be very, very, very tough game tomorrow. Obviously, I played with Steve and Marky at St. Mary's. I know how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Lovett, when he was playing in the first division, he was prolific.
Former Ireland striker, he played for the Isle of Man.
He's one of the best strikers on the island. There's no two ways about it. He literally is one of the best strikers on the island. And then Marky Priestnell as well. You know, what a player he is. Mm. What a player. I mean, he just makes you look stupid sometimes. Like, hated playing against him in training. Like, the only thing I do to him in training is just whack him. just whack him. Like, in that respect, I did quite enjoy playing against him, because he tested you, sort of thing. and you had to work hard to stay with him because it's just like his turning circle and his centre of gravity. You can just, I don't think there's another player over here like him, really.
No, and we talk about, you talk about the start of the season when everything was going well. Was this always your aim to go up this year, or was it a case of were you going to build it and see how it went? Or
no, promotion.
Yeah.
Promotion with the players that we've got. I mean, if you look at, like I say, John Lund, what a player he is. Yeah. You know, he's won the Grand Slam of St. George's. He's played like semi-pro across. Such a good player. Declan Cummins, he was in and around the Island setup last year. You know, he's another very, very good player. And then Andy Cleeter coming back to football from rugby years ago, when before Andy like stopped, he was awesome. He really was awesome. And he's come back and he hasn't lost it. So with those three that we've got, and then we've got players of like natural ability like Lewis and, you know, Chris Robinson. We've got bags and bags of ability.
Aiden coming as well. Okay.
Well, he's on his way back. Mm. We think we're just nursing him back into it though. You know, because obviously he had quite a bad injury last year, so we don't want to like rush Aiden back into it. Because it'd be a shame, obviously, for him to be injured now again, because he could potentially be a massive player for us. Mm. So I mean, with the talent that we've got on the side, promotion was almost, I don't want to sound like we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it was almost a bit of an expectation, really, with the players that we've got. Because when I look at our midfield and our attacking players and like our full strength side, our back four solid enough as well, I'd expect us to hold our own in the first division. Mm. You know, obviously we're not going to like set the league alight and win the league or anything like that, but I think we'd be more than comfortable in the mid-table holding our own. So it's just frustrating to see where we are, like the rut that we're in at the minute, to what we could actually be.
That's football though, Harry.
Yeah.
It must have been frustrating for you, Rory, because, you know, obviously you're injured at the moment, but watching on from the sidelines, it obviously so good at the start of the season, and then the second half, you're just itching to get back out playing, aren't you, to sort of help the lads?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, a big part for me, I mean, unfortunately my injury came from playing rugby, not football.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a debate when I get back, which one would I do, but obviously being quite involved with the club, and how I left UFI, so we got relegated, and you know, I think we conceded over 100 goals that season, but I would have considered that I would have been probably played my best football.
Yeah, I think that's I think you featured quite regularly in Team of the Week. You were the UFI's highest point scorer in our rankings. So.
Yeah, I mean, personal accolades, it was great, you know, with Young Player of the Month and stuff like that. It's fantastic, but I think it meant absolutely nothing because we got relegated, and I think it also means nothing that we haven't really won much silverware since I've been playing senior football and for a long time. So watching the guys and hearing what Harry has to say, I think if I was to come back into that side, where I'd fit in would be centre back, you know, defensive player, good on the ball sort of thing.
Yeah.
And as Harry says, if you were to get promoted and hold our own in the first division, I think that's what you need. Obviously, I don't think when we got relegated last time in the first division, we played bad football. I think we just didn't score enough goals, and then we ended up conceding too much in the games. But I think our home record, I think our biggest defeats at home were against Peel and Geordies, but apart from that, no other team beat us by more than four goals. Mm. And I know that sounds bad, but
yeah. Well, for a side going up, you know, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
and we it was a lot of games which could have gone either way, but it is annoying for me on the sideline wanting to come back. And it's not just me though, it's Graham Kennish as well.
Yeah.
I would say Graham Kennish was by far the best centre back we have at the club. He's just, he could head a cinder block in there. Yeah. Honestly, he could head anything that good.
He came back in pre-season, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was back for about 15 minutes.
Hurt his knee again. Yeah. He's just had an MRI scan, maybe something similar to me. But if you had him back, that would tighten up the defence straight away and stuff like that. But like Harry says, it's not, it's more of we're in a rut at the moment. We've got the quality there, just need to get the results.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, especially after the back of the performance, if not the result against Foxtel, that you guys do believe in yourselves. You know, you've got the quality there. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. All it takes is one little thing to turn it around.
Well, that's, I mean, if you go back to the Foxtel game, I think if, say for example, if Declan's chance from like the first 30 seconds goes in, I think that we would have gone on to destroy Foxtel like we destroyed Malou. Because against Malou, we got an early goal, and then our confidence just skyrocketed, and we were just, it was almost like a training game at times against Bologna. Now, I know Malou are a much better side than that, because obviously, we like say, for example, we lost against Union Mills, and they've turned around and beaten Union Mills 4-2. I just think if one of those first chances had have gone in, we would have gone on to win that game comfortably.
What we were talking about last week, though, on our shambolic own podcast last week.
The less said about that, the better. Yeah.
That this is the division. I think you can afford to lose.
Yeah.
So even well, I said four last week, and I think that's what you're on at the moment. But yeah. And you so can open. Still go up because there is so open. And we saw a tweet this week. Was it from Ian Mills or one of the Maloon boys? Maybe Josh Clark.
Yeah.
And he was saying. There's about eight teams could conceivably go up this year.
So you say if you get that run of games going, like you mentioned before, if you can go undefeated, then you're right up there at the top again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like I say, it brings us back to tomorrow's game. I mean, we just have to negotiate tomorrow's game and try and get something from it. I think we've got to try.
Would you take a point?
Happily, happily. But I think we just got to try as tall order as it is. Try and keep Marky quiet. Try and keep Steve quiet, and there's a lad in centre midfield firm called Nathan, I think.
Yates.
Yeah. We need to try and keep him quiet as well. Yeah. I think if we can keep them three quiet.
Very English?
I think but them three in particular, if we keep them three in particular quiet, then we can just. You know, play our way into the game and try and nick something.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it is going to be a very tough game for us tomorrow.
Well, Roy, you're probably the youngest vice chairman in Manx football, I'm going to say. But the Combi side, I know Dave will maybe stealing some of Dave's thunder here in Combi Corner a bit later on, but they're flying along at them. They won 10-0 last week, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think traditionally with our club, it's been the other way around, where our first team, you know, may excel a bit more in the league, where we've been promoted, you know, a few times and that. And then she's on the other foot now. Yeah. And it's good to see as well, because our Combi deserve that. They deserve to have that, you know, playing that well and scoring those goals. And to be fair, it's probably down to the fact that Harry said at the start is that our pre-season, we were getting so many numbers down.
Mm.
And although the first team squad might not be as settled at the moment, the Combi squad definitely has benefited from the amount of numbers. And I think that's probably the same for any team. You look at any Combi team that doesn't have the right numbers, they're the ones that are struggling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So to see our team up there isn't really much of a surprise. And then when you're seeing like 70 plus goal difference, I don't think we would have expected that, but then Martin Murphy's getting 19 goals in 9 games and he won't shut up about it.
Yeah. Another 4 last week.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Were they 100%ers, aren't they, Dave?
Yeah, 10 out of 10, as I'll touch on later. But yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal start to the season. I think their fight seems to be on the second place at the moment in that division. Obviously, it could all change in an instant. But do you think they can't be sad? Players there, they are ready to make the step up to the first team if needed. Obviously, you've got injuries and stuff.
I think so, definitely. But I think usually your Combi side's filled with like sort of 16-year-olds and younger players. But our team last week, I think the youngest person might have been one person in their 20s. The rest of them were 30 plus.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think those guys are definitely ready to play first team football because they've done it before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might not be the same as if they were younger, but Harry would know more about the players.
Like last week against Foxdale, we brought in Eugene Stone from the Combi, and he played centre back for us. And for me, he was our man of the match. Just like the way he organised everybody, he just did not put a foot wrong throughout the entire game. And then there was Ashley Gross, who was playing right back as well. I've actually been brought in with the first team now for the past 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm not being biased because he is like my best friend, but he literally hasn't put a foot wrong. He's done really well. So those two have stepped up, and Jed as well. I mean, Jed's probably not as comfortable on the ball as Glenn, but what Jed does bring is like a far higher work rate and a far higher level of fitness sort of thing. He's very, very tenacious, Jed. He brings a lot of fight. So the ones who have come in have stepped up, and done the job for us. And like, if we go back to like our lack of goals, it'd be nice to bring like Martin Murphy with the first team and play him up front because he knows where the goal is, and with him having 19 goals, his confidence is going to be sky high. And then also in the Combi, you've got Tony Corlett. And Tony Corlett is a brilliant player, absolutely brilliant player, but I think he's just happy to play for the Combi.
I think you've got a few players that are happy to play for the Combi like Damian Wood. He's got 15 goals in 5 games.
Yeah.
He's a bit good at the moment, I think, but I think he said it very early on in the season that he'd prefer to play 90 minutes in the Combi than play a bit part in the first team, which I understand, I get it, because you want to play football there.
Yeah.
So is what you're saying, outside tip for the Junior Cup?
I think so, yeah, because I know Russian are flying, and I think I was speaking to Adam McCulloch, and he was saying that Corinthians, he reckons that the Corinthians Combi side could do well in the first division.
big shout.
So, but I think you might be guilty of not looking at Division 2 Combi because you think, combi twos.
Yeah.
But I reckon they'd give a good go, yeah. And they want it as well. But plus the silverware at UFI is very thin. I think maybe the last one was probably Cal Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't count because it's not senior football.
I think it was there that day at St John's.
Yeah, it was raining.
Absolutely peed in there. Reminiscent of this week.
Johnny Shields with the longest knee slide celebration I've seen.
Right, it would be remiss of us when we're in the north not to talk about a Manx football tradition that is the transfer merry-go-round between Ayr, Ramsey and Ramsey Youth Centre. Now, why does this happen? And I'm looking at you, Harry, because you've played for all three of those clubs, haven't you?
I have.
Why do players move around so frequently?
Well, when I was at Ayr, I loved Ayr, absolutely loved Ayr. I mean, I'm from Andreas, and all my mates played there. You know, there's like Clude, Neil Brown, lads that I've grown up with. And the reason that I left Ayr United was because we were playing Ramsey in the league. A couple of weeks previous, I got a dead leg against St John's, took a week off from training, just got myself back to health, so to speak, got back to training. But because I'd missed a week's training, Eastie dropped me, and I was devastated by it. You know, I never really forgave him for it. And prior to that, I had always had like stuff like Andy Perry and stuff in my ear, you know, come to Ramsey. So eventually I just thought, well, do you know what, I'm going to just give it a go. I had like 3 years at Ramsey, and I really enjoyed it, to be fair. And the first year I was there, we had a very strong side. There was like James Sale, Darren Jones, Curley was in his prime. You know, we did have a good team, Ashley Webster as well. We had a good side, and then I moved up to Douglas to be closer to work and stuff and joined St Mary's. With regards to coming to Youthy, I've been threatening to join Youthy for about 10 years. Yeah. Like a lot of friends from school there.
Well, you touch on that, is it friends thing? Because often when one goes, about three or four of you go. Is it just a case of trying a new scenery, trying something a bit different, or...?
With regards to going to Ramsey, I was trying something a bit different. I mean, when I played for it, I hated Ramsey. Yeah. I did. I hated them. The one game, it didn't matter. It did not matter who you were playing 1 week to the next. The only two fixtures that you look for when the fixtures came out were Ramsey home, Ramsey away, especially Ramsey away. You know, that was like our final. Beating them at Ballacloan. You know, we handed Ramsey some right dustings as well.
Yeah.
But then I remember one game losing 5-0 against them as well, which was absolute sickener. Absolutely sickener. But I think what's happened more is like the lads of Ramsey had a very good side a few years ago, and then they all left and went to Laxey.
Yeah, well, it's almost a square now, isn't it? The Laxey element.
And then them boys have now gone on to Peel as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of those guys have been at Youthy as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of the guys started at Youthy junior level, and our junior setup was great.
Talk about that Cal Cup team. Yeah, it was Johnny, Aiden,
Matty Christian,
there's loads.
And I think a lot of them left. And for whatever reasons, but it did cripple us a bit. I know that you'd be traditionally the worst out of the three teams and stuff like that, and I get that you want to better yourself and play a higher standard of football maybe, but for me anyway, it wasn't about that. I wanted to play with my friends. My friends stayed there, and I've been at UFI since I was 4 or 5 years old, and so I'm like the complete opposite. That I didn't want to go to Ramsey and Ayr. Plus, I think if I did end up going there, they'd hate me. And I would never do that, because I hate Ramsey.
It was funny, we had last one of last season's podcast, we had Mark Kelly on, Peel player, and he always played for Peel, and we asked the question, have you ever had the opportunity to move, you know, why haven't you, you know, and he said, well, because if I won anything with Peel, it would mean 10 times more than winning with St George's or Old Boys or whoever, you know, had offered him a game.
I should just retract a second. I said I hate Ramsey and Ayr, which I do, but I do enjoy, my friends do play for them, which is also quite good for the competitive nature of it, is that I'm quite friendly with a lot of them. I know certain players wouldn't hold back tackling me, and I wouldn't hold back tackling them, which is part of the parcel of Northern football, I think.
I think the other element, obviously you're the prime example of, is the connection with the rugby club as well, because quite a lot of players seem to play football and rugby in the North, and I don't think that you see it anywhere else.
No, you don't, I don't think.
Maybe apart from Furrow, who plays for Emerging Nomads on his week off, much to probably Chris Bass Xenia's chagrin, but but like this Radcliffe played rugby as well as yourself, obviously Andy used to.
There's a few other people who have like toyed at the idea as well. And I think rugby is probably a bigger commitment in terms of that.
You're going away and stuff.
You're going away, and also your body and stuff. I think you do feel more pain after playing rugby. And I think, you know, people do have to, it's probably more time out of your day, and then it stretches into your week, I think.
It's all that drinking after.
I think that's why people like the social as well. Yeah. I mean, for me going there, it was good to get a breath of fresh air, because I left Eufy, but I was still involved. But I also didn't leave Eufy for another football team,
yeah,
which I think would have been a different thing. And I think with Ramsey Rugby, it was good just to get that fresh sort of social, different people, different crowds.
You seem to have guys that are playing both. You know, is it a case of, oh, you feel got a free week, I'll go and play for Ramsey 2s or something like that? Or?
I think you would like that. I know a couple of guys have been messaging me recently saying, oh, would like to play like Jamie O'Neill. I think that's how it started. It was like, oh, you guys are free. You played a casual game and it was free for their game was cancelled. Obviously, football games are cancelled more often than rugby games as well, which just probably helps. And then he's ended up playing there now full time, and now he's in the first team, and he's been playing tomorrow at Ramsey. So, and I think it's one of them that some people are up for it, and some people are not, and it's some people just prefer watching it. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
You alluded to it before. You suffered your injury. You were playing rugby, didn't you? So how did it happen, and what is it exactly?
How are you up?
How are you doing, basically? Yeah.
How do they get upstairs? basically, August 2016, so over a year ago, I played my first game for Ramsey. It was a pre-season friendly, and it was 30 seconds into my debut.
Oh, no.
I think secretly everyone at Eufy was kind of happy because, haha, you hurt yourself and you're not playing rugby, but then they realised the severity of the injury. But to be honest, it started off with like, oh yeah, you're only going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Took me about 6 months to get back to up to playing.
Wow.
And then in a training session before my first game, I did it again. And at which point I was like, right, well, there's something wrong.
Yeah,
got it checked out. And turned out I ruptured my ACL and did a few other bits in the knee. And then I since had an operation last Thursday. And here I am a week later.
Yeah. Doing the podcast. Yeah. What's dedication for it? And is it going well so far? Are the doctors happy or...?
Yeah, so I got it done in Liverpool, so I haven't spoken to them since. But I'm going back over soon, and yeah, it's all going well. Operation went well, no complications, just a bit of bruising from my...
Have you got a big rehab?
Yeah, I've got physio tomorrow, and I think 9 months until you can play contact sport, which is probably pre-season, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be, September, yeah. So it'll be August, so
fair enough. So I think I'll have people telling me
Right.
Well, best of luck with the recovery.
Yeah, echo that. Twitter questions. We've had absolutely tons. Now, Rory was doing his best to fend them off last night, but it's taken me most of the morning to filter out the ones that we can use on
Linux. We're still actually sure about some of these that we've...
Yeah, so apologies if anyone's offended in the next sort of 5 to 10 minutes. We'll kick off with a...
Respectable one,
go on in.
From Hattie, who will be at the game tomorrow. So it looks like Eufy are replicating their 2014-15 season when they finished runners-up, where they started all guns blazing, but midway through the season they started dropping points. What went wrong that season? And is that the best team you've played in, Harry?
Yes, for Rory, I think it was.
I played, yeah. That was the year where we pretty much went half the season unbeaten. I think... From recollection, I remember one good game, like one proper good game where we like blew any team out of the wall, which was Onken.
Yeah.
Won like 5-0, I think. And that, but every other game that we won, I don't think we like bossed the game, or I think maybe would have been not lucky to get promoted, because again it was another tight season. Mm. I think Colby narrowly missed out again.
Goal difference, I think, was it at the end? Yeah.
And that happened like 2 seasons or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
And so I think what went wrong that season was that we were never the best team in that league. We got promoted because we probably wanted it more at the end of the day. I think maybe that's when it boils down to it. And was it the best team that I played in? Apart from the Carl Cup team, who we were referring to before. I mean, I've only played for Eufy, so it's hard to compare players and stuff. But I would have said the best team that I played in with the best players was probably the season after we went up, when we got John London and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd say that John London's probably the best player I've played with, personally. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, some player.
Now, from the sensible to the ridiculous, we've got a lot in that category this week. Plude, Paul Kenish, referred to him before, he said, it's not even a question, it's just a tweet that says you need to discuss at length, well maybe not at length, you know, we're on a bit of a time limit, Rory's 17 nipples.
Yeah, I have 4 nipples, essentially.
That's unbelievable. Hang on.
Podcast exclusive.
Whoa, wow. That is amazing.
So yeah. So 17 nipples, probably a bit of a stretch.
Four. It's probably a good job our photographer's left already.
Yeah. Good question. When did you realise that was weird?
I mean, it's always been weird, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but what do you think? Does not everyone else got four nipples?
I honestly don't know. Can I answer that question? To me, it was just, I remember Chandler Bing and Friends had a third nipple. And I thought, wait a second here.
I can do better than that. Yeah. That is unbelievable. That is a first. He's got a question. For, well, again, not a question, a statement. Go on, Dave.
You can ask Harry about his greatest ever achievement, winning the Kinnish Cup.
I think we should start off with what is the Kinnish Cup?
Right, so the Kinnish Cup, basically, it was a massive game of one-man Wembley.
Right.
And it was played at Plew's house when Plew used to live down Scollard Road. So with this massive back garden. I think we got between 10 and 15 of us down.
Wow.
Got down there for about 12 o'clock, just started cracking open the beers. And it was just literally round by round, one goal to get through. And it went on for about 5 or 6 hours. It was just this massive game of Wembley, boiling heat, tackles flying in everywhere. There's basically no rules. And negotiating my way through it, got to the final and won.
Who was in goal? Who got that?
Who did we put in goal? Who was in goal? Stephen Oates.
Oh, right, okay.
Stephen Oates went net for it, I think.
Okay.
Which was good of him.
Yeah.
Getting a shot, absolutely peppered at him all day.
A 5 hour spell in goal is pretty good going, isn't it?
And who did you beat in the final?
Who did it? Plewd himself and Martin Murphy.
Right.
I scored like a contentious first goal in that final. I was switched on basically. The ball just got thrown over the goal back into play sort of thing. I just ran in and just blasted it in. Plewd was crying about it, but
sounds like he still hasn't got over it.
It's actually on display in my kitchen. As you're walking through my front door, literally where my sink is, it's on the windowsill.
Nice.
I don't know where.
Wait, did he actually get a cup for it?
Oh, it's like an old vinegar jar.
Oh, okay.
But it's had vinegar crossed out and Kenish cup underneath. And it's got my name on it and the date on it as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Just need some Division 2 silverware to go alongside.
There you go, yeah. Tweets in, suggestions is the recent slump in form is down to Mike Mixon's lack of availability. Is that correct, Harry?
Well, like I say, as we touched on before, that comes into us not having a settled side, and he has been unavailable in recent weeks, and we do miss his organisation. You know, he's a defender, and he does the basics well. You know, gets his head on things, gets his tackles in, doesn't really take any chances. So, yeah, I mean, he comes into, obviously, us being part of our missed players, so to speak. So yeah, there is definitely some an element of truth in that.
Well, the man in question is actually he sent in a raft of tweets for us, hasn't he? First question's for you, Rory. What's the best thing about playing for Eufy?
I think it's more like sort of the social I find with Eufy was very, very good. Especially coming in at 16, they brought you into that. There was no sort of fear in a way, and then that led to being captain quite early and stuff like that, and just enjoy it, don't you?
Harry, Eufy or Air, which was the best? We'll forget you played for Ramsey.
I'd have to say Air.
Okay.
Obviously from Andreas and grew up playing for Air, and then just came through the system there with all my mates. The likes of Plewd, then there was Neil Brown, who was part of the older age group, James Tier. We had a very good side at Air. A very, very good side. Nobody liked coming out to Andrews to play us, and just that as well. There was the social side of it as well. It did. Both teams would be out every single weekend, every Saturday night. You'd all meet up down at the clubhouse because there was a bar, and then you'd head off into town. We had some absolutely tremendous nights out. I remember one of the socials was Billy Stagdo, and basically everyone was in fancy dress. We got picked up in a massive cattle wagon. Billy's a farmer. Cattle wagon drove through Ramsey. Everyone banging on the sides of the cattle wagon, took us into ShopRite car park. Dan comes the lid, and just 25 people in fancy dress off out into Ramsey for the night, I think. But I do also really love playing for UC. I mean, some unbelievable banner gets flying around.
You had to say that to avoid some heavy tackles and training.
Yeah. I often wondered who wore orange first, Andreas or the Netherlands, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
Right, Harry, do you remember, this again from Mike, do you remember telling me your name was Boris Bumscratcher when I took your year for football whilst doing my GCSE PE at Ramsey Grammar School?
I don't remember saying that to him. I don't ever remember Mike taking us for football. But
is that a legitimate nickname? Because he wants to bring it back.
Well, going back to that name, that's we used to call Ben, who runs this place. We used to call him Boris Bumscratcher. I think.
How apt?
I think maybe I might have somehow thrown it in there when I was.
You've got a lot of nicknames though, haven't you?
Oh, God. Loads. Loads.
Well, who's got the worst in the team? Is it you?
Salty Moran.
Yeah. Do we need to go into that?
Or I'll
do you guys a favour and just say no comment.
Yeah, that's. And he's asked this. I don't know if we would do this because we're in the pool room of the trap and the tables aren't particularly big. But he wants to know who would win in an arm wrestle between you two.
Harry.
Oh, diplomatic.
Oh, I think we need a bit of proof. Can we somehow arrange?
No, we're not going to do that.
When his knee's better.
Yeah, when his knee's better. We don't want him rupturing another tendon.
Okay, fair enough.
That would be horrible. Go on, your next question then.
Right, Stuart Christian's asked, I think this
Sidecar superstar Stuart Christian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is this, I think this is for you, Rory.
This was one of the nine he sent in, the only one we could actually use.
What are your plans for your next holiday?
I'm going to watch the Kooks in January.
Oh, right.
That's the only thing I've got.
Are they still going? I'm not being funny, but
it's a best of tour. I think Stewie's referring to the fact that I'm I like to go on holidays, and he thinks that I have too much money for cents. But I can say now that's not true.
Where are the Kooks? Where are they playing?
Dublin.
Dublin. That'll be nice. Yeah.
Oh, if you're going to send the go there, then.
Joey Andrews, Harry. Now, you've obviously played briefly with Joey at St Mary's, was he?
Yeah, good player.
Very good player. Also, a tremendous question asker. He's the Paxman of his age in many ways.
Yeah, he does think about them in the shower.
Yep. He tweets this week, if you had to pick between playing a snooker game against a Chuckle Brother, would you pick Paul or Barry?
Right. I'm going to say Barry, and I can't really give a reason as to why. I just pick Barry.
I hope this means we can tag them in the tweet. Harry.
Definitely getting tagged in the tweet. The Chuckle Brothers, they must be cracking on a bit now, haven't they?
They've managed to do quite well, extending their career.
I think they'd be fairly handy snooker players, you know, brought up on the club scene of Rotherham. They've probably played a few games of snooker, so maybe we could see if we can make this happen. Harry Wetherill versus a Chuckle Brother.
I wonder how they get on in the Kentish Cup, though.
Yeah, best of three, Douglas Snooker Club, coming soon. Grant Dawson, marathon man these days, had more clubs than Nick Faldo in his playing days. Sticking with the D's, I think that was referring to another tweet we couldn't use. Rory, would you prefer to be body slammed by Dink or Doink from WWF? Now, just before you answer this, I had to Google this morning to check. I didn't realise that this was a thing. Because he put Dink and Donk, which it is Dink and Doink, isn't
it? Yeah.
One was a little fat person, I like to be called, isn't it?
Right.
Is that right, Rory?
I think so.
Yeah. Politically correct, well done.
Yeah. So, which one would you prefer to be body slammed by?
It's got to be Dink, hasn't it?
Dink, okay. When were they prevalent?
No idea.
Before my time of watching WWE.
The YouTube clip looked like it'd been taken off of VHS. So
not Betamax.
But I don't remember them. Do you remember them, Harry? Big wrestling fan now?
No.
No Rikishi.
No Rikishi.
The second question for you. Do you wish you'd played the class of the late 90s? Which I'm presuming Youth's class of the late 90s.
Yeah, I think he's referring to...
himself.
Yeah. Some of the players. Although I think I did play with some of the players. Like Andrew Walton, Martin Murphy and stuff like that. But yeah, I suppose they were decent players in the day. Now they're a bit chubbier.
Wait, not mentioning any names.
The Masters team's going to be pretty awesome in a few years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Agent Rashid, our podcast favourite.
Yeah, we're very excited about having him in at Christmas. He's going to do our Christmas special.
Absolutely, we think, on the 21st.
It's the 21st of December. I'm still waiting to speak to his agent to get that confirmed, but that's what it's looking like at the moment.
Negotiate a fee of what biscuits. Yeah. Question for you, Harry. Is it true you can fart on command?
I can.
Right. Now, the next part of this, I just want to interject quickly there, was for you to actually demonstrate that, but we're in quite a confined area, and I don't think
we can open the window, but we get a bit too much background noise.
Well, the thing is, it's just air.
Right.
It's not actual methane.
Is it loud? Will we pick it up on the...
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to go over here. Here
we go. Right. This is another podcast first, this.
I have to assume the position.
Right, he's bent... Oh, hang on. It's a bit like a yoga position.
That might actually smell like
that is unbelievable.
This is a historic podcast in more ways than one.
Similar question I asked Harry, about Rory about his four nipples. When did you realise you could do that as a talent?
I was seven. And I was in the bedroom reading, and I remember I was reading the Beano. It was like a Desperate Dan story or something, but it was really, really intense. And I was on my hands and knees, like reading it. My bum was in the air, just it was because I was just completely engrossed in the book. And then I just felt air go up my bum.
But
pushed it back out and then just relaxed again. It went back up, pushed it back out, and then I just learned how to basically suck air up my bum and fall it back out, and then. And then I progressed onto water when I was a little bit older.
Oh, that's a thing.
And talk.
Talk about it, water.
Man's got talent. Yeah. I think we've got an extra winner.
I think I need another point now.
Right, just so we recover from that, I think we can look ahead to next week's fixture with the lads, and I'm still in shock, to be honest. I'm struggling here.
Yeah.
Dave caught up with Alaman FA manager Paul Jones after Saturday's dramatic extra time win over the Liverpool County Premier League.
Yeah, mixed emotions for him, a bit like us right now.
Yeah, in shock and all that. But yeah, so let's have a listen to what he had to say now.
Paul, the Alaman just don't seem to do it the easy way against Liverpool, do they?
No, it's got a bit of history, this fixture, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, no snowstorm this time, but plenty of action on the pitch. And again, another comeback victory.
I've got mixed emotions, to be honest. It's great that we put on a decent game for people to watch, and it's been exciting and end-to-end in some ways, and coming back from behind and all the rest of it. But when you're a coach or a manager, it's not the sort of game you enjoy watching, because it basically means that you've not defended very well and you've not taken all the chances that you should have had. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good game. I mean, Liverpool played well for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, really, in the first half, and looked a good half-decent side with some very good players in. But then their fitness kind of died a little bit, and we gave them everything they got, really.
Well, yeah, quite a lot of their players were cramping up and going down seemingly injured. I think there was a bit of gamesmanship going on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them. We weren't getting too frustrated, because we'd have done the same thing. Well, we wouldn't have done it so early in the game, but we'd have done a similar thing in the same circumstances if we were winning 2 or 3-0. So, yeah, I don't blame them for that at all. But I'm really pleased with the effort and the endeavour, and the lads stayed patient and they tried to keep doing the right things and didn't just lump the ball up front and hit and hope. And, you know, that was the most pleasing bit. They believed in what they were trying to do. But, yeah, there's lots to go away and work on.
There certainly is. I mean, it started off slowly. We were 1-0 down after 5 minutes, and then it was 2-0 after, I think, 18. But, again, you got that goal shortly afterwards, and it just sowed the seeds of doubt in their minds a little bit, and you could see Liverpool were a bit shaky. I know they got a third goal pretty quickly, but they were still edgy at the back.
We were obviously very disappointed to go 2-0 down, but then as soon as we scored that first one, you could see their body language had gone, really, and they'd given all that they could give, and then we give the penalty by, again, just being in the wrong side of a man, and you end up putting your hand on their back and they go down, and it probably is a penalty. So, you know, then you're back to two goals again, and that gives them a little bit more impetus to get through to half time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the frustrating bit. You know, in Scotland we spoke about giving people goals and making silly mistakes, and then we've, you know, gone and done it four times again tonight. So, you know, it's at what point the penny starts to drop. You know, I don't know, but, you know, it's... I hope everyone enjoyed watching it, I think, anyway.
Certainly did. I think first half for you guys, it was disrupted. Liam went off injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's twisted his knee, is he?
Yeah, it looks like he's got a lateral ligament strain of his right knee, I think. So he'll be out for like 4 to 6 weeks from Russian games, which is unfortunate for him. And we wish him all the best and have a speedy recovery. But, you know, in a weird way, it allowed us to change. Yeah, we changed what we did a little bit. We dropped Frank Jones back towards Dan Bell in centre midfield, and Fura Davies came on, and it was a tough call to leave him out, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And you've got so many good players really to select from that you're gonna end up making decisions just on intuition and gut more than anything else. And he came on, and I said, as he was coming on the pitch, I said, go and prove me wrong, and he did.
Yeah,
well, he was brilliant.
You know, Fura, it's a tricky one with him, because some weeks he can be untouchable, other times he can drift in and out of the games. But today he was definitely on form, wasn't he?
He was, and he having worked with him at Russian, he's at his best when he feels like he's got a point to prove, or he feels like there's something against him. And you know, if I knew I'd get a reaction from him off the bench. I knew he would come on and do well. I was thinking it might have been later on in the game than it actually did happen, but I think it changed the game a little bit in our favour. And Frank's energy in centre midfield certainly covered some of the gaps that were appearing earlier on in the game. So yeah, it worked out. I can't say it was all my good judgment, but you know,
it was one of those. I mean, the second half, it was all the Alaman, and I know they got free kick that they scored.
It was an excellent free kick. It was two or three mistakes from us that led to the free kick.
Yeah.
But the delivery and the guy knocking it in Sam's top left hand corner with an excellent strike that would be not out of place in games far higher level than this one. So
it was a fantastic strike. Then obviously they had another chance later on. They had another penalty.
They did.
But
yes.
What great save by Sam!
It was, you know, he kind of redeemed himself a little bit for the one that he gave them in the second goal where it bounced off him and he was disappointed with himself for that. And he made an excellent penalty save. And you know, again, that was a rash decision, really, from Sam Kane to go and try and kick a boy's head when it was, you know, when the ball was near it. So,
but again, he's another player that made up for it.
Yeah, he did. He came on and he did well. And he scored his goal, took it very, very well. So, yeah, it was a strange game of weird decisions and excellent decisions, and you know, the strange decisions cost us really. But we're through to the next round, and that's all we really wanted at the end.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you're still only a couple of months into the job here, aren't you? You're still sort of getting a feel for things in terms of the players. You've played so many different players already in the short time you've been here, so you're still getting to know your team.
Yeah, to an extent. You know, a lot of those players have played at this level for a number of years, so you know, we can't have the excuse too much that they don't know what they're doing. We're not changing things massively from how it's been done for a number of years, so it's not like we're asking them to play in a different way or you know anything like that. So you know, I can't use me not being in the job as a big excuse. However, we did do some things quite different over the last 4 weeks, which led to quite a lot of different bodies and lots of changes within games. And you know, this group of players probably didn't play a long period of time together, whereas in the games before and in the lead up to Scotland, we probably were a little bit more mindful of playing the same players with each other in the same team for longer periods.
Yeah.
And I tried not to do that this time to make it more difficult for them and actually make the game a bit easier. But you know, on reflection, I think I'd maybe do things slightly differently, but I guess that would be the bit where I'm a bit new to the job and I'm trying to figure things the best way of getting a performance out of them. And you know, as much as I can turn around and say some of them made some strange decisions today, you know, maybe I made a couple of strange decisions in the last couple of weeks that I can reflect upon as well.
Well, look, it worked. You're through. Finally, I know you need to go, so quickly, a word for the Max support. The last time we played Liverpool 5-3, obviously everyone was talking about it, and it really, that was the game that really sort of captured the imagination of the Max public, and you started to see bigger crowds as the competition wore on. Are you hoping for the same here?
Of course, yeah. We'd you know, I'm as a manager, I'm hoping not every game is like that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit more straightforward, but you know, the lads, that was a fantastic spectacle to watch. You know, it was a good game, and you know, if we're lucky enough to have a home draw again in the next round, I hope there's a few more people that adds to the numbers that we're here tonight and can give the lads a good cheer along. And you know maybe we'll put a more a little bit more of a flowing performance together. But yes, the lads have actually said in the past that they enjoy winning those games far more than the easy games.
Yeah.
And part of me actually maybe thinks there's a dark side to them that I know they wouldn't do it on purpose, but you know, they get a lot more of a buzz out of coming from behind, and it seems to be something that the Isle of Man team does quite a lot. And I'm just wondering whether they're doing it on purpose
just to scare you.
To scare us. Well, Dicko did say at half time, to be fair, that whenever we've gone on to win this competition, we've had a game like this. We've had a game where we've had to come from behind, we've had to dig in, we've had to get a result when maybe it was looking at some point that we weren't going to get it, and we've gone on to win. So hopefully that's a good omen for us.
That's it. It's the belief of the player. The players will be confident now going forward, won't they?
I'd hope so, yeah. They should be confident anyway because they're very good players. But doing things like what we've done tonight definitely brings people together a little bit more, maybe, and they believe in themselves as individuals and as a team a little bit more.
Fantastic.
Right, look, we're still here in the trap in Ramsey, looking out. The sun's gone in a bit now, isn't it, Dave? What's I wonder if it was after Harry's... Yeah. Harry's sort of blown the clouds over.
Yeah, the big cloud.
But yes, we're in the trap, cool river in Ramsey. We're joined by Youth Giro. You're right, Dave.
Oh, really?
Rory Poole and Harry Weatherall. And we're going to look ahead to Saturday's fixture, starting in Division 2 with the big game we've already discussed a little bit. Rose versus Youthy, a trip to Springfield Road for you lads.
We're sending our main man, Hattie, there.
Hattie's going to be there, the multimedia machine himself. But lads, we talked about this before, you've got to get a point out of it, haven't you?
Yeah, absolute minimum requirement. We cannot afford to lose tomorrow. I'm not going to give a good prediction, but what I will say is that we just cannot afford to lose tomorrow.
And are you going to have any plans for the Glovers and that, or is it just going to be a case you're going to play your own game and hope that overrides it?
I think we need to keep them quiet for a while and then just grow into the game ourselves. I think if we can nick a goal, give ourselves something to hold on to, something to defend while trying at the same time nullify the threat of Steve, Markey and Nathan, then we've got a chance. Like I say, it's just... Obviously, we'll go through it tomorrow, maybe even tonight. We'll see what Liam's plans are and what he thinks the best way is to deal with them.
How's your team shaping up? Anyone back from injury for this one?
This week we've got John Lund back, he was away. We've got Mike Nixon back as he was working. Anthony Bale's still out.
Dan Callow back, is he?
Oh yeah, Dan Callow.
Yeah.
Forgot about him. Yeah, we've got Dan Callow back, so he might go into right back, which might push me into the field, I'm not sure. We'll just see what happens. We'll just see what Liam says, really. But like I say, it's a massive game for us.
Big game. Always fun, a trip to Bullroy as well. Something usually happens off the pitch, doesn't it? Yeah. I've lost count the amount of times dogs have walked across the and stopped the action. Moran Union Mills, two of the teams in the just sitting below you at the moment in the league. Mills have put together a good run at the moment, though.
Yeah, well, it was kind of kicked off by the win against you guys, wasn't it, last month, I think. And They've had a couple of iffy results, but they're a good side. Moran had their bubble burst by D&D a few weeks ago, but they're very much one of the form sides. I would suggest home advantage will probably pay off in this one for Moran, but Mills could sneak it.
We've got to mention one Mills player in particular, Luke Booth, who scored six goals of the week to fire himself to the top of the Silver Boot standings, which is no mean feat considering Steve and I score goals Glover is in this division at the moment.
Yep, tied at the top with 21 each, I believe.
Boys, what do you think about this one? You know, have you played both of these teams now?
We have, yeah, lost against both of them. I would go with Moran. Against Mills, obviously they beat us 2-1, but I don't really think neither side. I think a draw would have been a fair result in that game, to be honest with you. Yeah. And against Moran, we had players out, but they were head and shoulders above us on the day. We got a couple of very good players. There was tall lad Stuart, he was called. I think his name was tall lad. He was
Stuart
very,
Morris,
very yeah. He was a good player. He's one of the best players I've seen in the division this year, to be fair.
Former Silver Boot winner.
Right, and then they had a couple of like. Tricky wingers and a good lad up front as well. So they had better players, I think, than Mills. So I think
they've had better results as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
They said, I was speaking to Cam Avery yesterday, and he said that they beat Paul Rose, I think, and they drew against Foxdale. So I think they know that they're better, the table might suggest.
Yeah. With Mills as well, I mean, I don't know what's happening with Chris Kelly. He was suffering a head injury.
Yeah,
that
third stitch. That was against you, Theo.
That was bad. It was bad.
So I don't know if he's going to be back in the team. He'll obviously be a big miss for them if not. But
I'd go from around.
Yeah.
Rory.
Yeah, Moran.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
I'm going to be controversial and call this as a draw. I think Luke Booth is scoring for fun at the moment, so I think this is going to, it could be 2-3 all in. That's what I'm predicting. We are all clubs. Harry, they welcome Michael in a derby of sorts, isn't it? You know.
It is, and you know. On paper, you'd suggest Ayr would win this, but Michael have been showing good signs of improvement lately. Obviously, they've got the mastermind himself, Nick Hurt, in the team. He's obviously doing quite well. But
he drove behind us for a bit today as we came over the mountain, so I'm guessing he's back on the island.
I thought he was going to heckle us during the podcast, but yeah. No. This one, you know, I think Ayr will just about sneak it, but it's going to be tough for them.
Harry, do you think Ayr would have done a bit better this season, considering they've kept most of that squad together, haven't they, that was in the Premier League?
No, I think, obviously, they came... I mean, the amount of points that they came down with, I think it suggests that they probably are really going to be like a mid-table side in the second division. Obviously, it's a season of transition for them as well. But I would still fancy them to beat Kurt Michael. Ayr have got a player who I really, really rate. He's up front for them, Dean Tate.
Dean Tate,
your man.
My man used to play seven side with Dean Tate. He'd spank goals left, right, and centre past me. But yeah, he's
a very good player.
I thought he might have picked up a few more goals in the video.
Yeah, maybe it's like a lack of service to him or something. But I mean, when we drew against three all out Andreas, he was probably the best player on the pitch, to be honest with you.
Tremendous touch, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can move with the ball like at real speed as well, and his close control.
Always looks like it's just getting away from him, and then he whips it away. And he's a great player.
I think if he has a good game, I'd fancy to beat them, to be honest with you.
You say Rory?
Yeah, I played with Dean back at junior level for Uffie, under 13s, I think, and you could tell then he was fast, tricky sort
quite
of
quite strong stuff for it as well. You see, he is a bit complete forward. As if you're a football manager, that would have him down as a complete forward.
But yeah, I think we'd take it against Michael.
Then Foxdale D&D. Now, the banana skin potentially, but Foxdale got out of jail a bit last week, I'm going to say, Harry. They didn't play particularly well against you, but we still won. That's sometimes is considered the sign of a good team. But, but they've got a D&D side that are scoring quite a few goals at the moment. Daniel Clegg-Stewart seems to have found his shooting boots in the recent weeks, Dave.
Yeah, they did well. Obviously, they had that aforementioned 2-0 win over Moran. And I could be wrong, I'm sure Dave Atherton will correct me, but did D&D beat Foxdale 5-3 earlier in the season? I think was that the shock result earlier on? I'm not sure. Could be wrong. I should have really done my research. They will not make life tough for Foxdale. You know, the home side will have to be wary of complacency in this sort of match because, you know, getting a big win against Uthie could sort of... The confidence will be high, but they need to be careful in this one.
Boys, do you reckon home win in this one?
I'd have to. I mean, I've never, ever played against Douglaston District, so I don't know anything.
Season of first for you, Harry.
I don't know anything about them. So I'd have to, given where Foxdale are in the league, I'd have to go with Foxdale to win this.
Yeah, you'd say Foxdale a bit. They will have taken big heart from that win last week, and they probably have the bit between the teeth. I'm sorry, Dave. I think I'm predicting a Foxdale win as well. Castletown Gyms. Castletown should be firm favourite to this. They seem to have picked up a few points in the last few weeks as well, Dave.
Yeah, well, they beat D&D 7-2 last week. They're in good form. Beat Foxdale a few weeks back as well, I think did they? But they're right back in the mix now. They had that mid-season blip, so as you said, Harry, they are one of the best sides in the division, so they're looking onwards and upwards now, so it should be a 3 points here.
Jim's form is sort of upturned in the last few weeks, but then they got their first win, didn't they?
Governors Athletic, I think was it a couple weeks ago, 7-2 again.
So. But I'd have to say, trip to the stadium, it's got home win written all over it, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. With the likes of Alex Crawley in the team, they've got plenty of goals in the team. So.
Home win for you two as well?
Yeah, Castletown, they're a good side.
Talking of Governors Athletic, they entertain Malou the slightly later kickoff of 2:30 at Bemmerhaeg. Now, guys, have you played at Bemmerhaeg? I know I watched you youth play there in a cup fixture a couple of years ago, but it's a bouncy surface, that one, isn't it? I think I touch on this every week, but it's almost like playing in the Eric Cantona-esque cage of the Nike adverts of the 90s, isn't it? It's very confined, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never played there, but I trained up there at St Mary's last year, and I didn't like it.
No.
It's
a different bounce to the bowl, though, isn't it?
I hate the bowl.
Do you?
Yeah, I hate it.
What about, have you played on the Astro St John's?
Yes.
On
the
Magic Carpet Cup. Yeah. But no, I played at Bemmerhaeg a few times now with California training when we were a bit younger and that. And yeah, it's a different surface to the bowl, definitely.
And it's just the perception of the perimeter, the fence, that seems to just make everything that little bit smaller as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the bowl anyway is massive, but then Bemmerhaeg, I don't think that's not as big, is it?
No.
I think the pitch doesn't feel as big now.
I like the feeling of being closed in. So say, for example, like at Foxdale last week, shooting towards the clubhouse, I like how you've got that behind it. It's almost like a target sort of thing, and it's closed in. I don't mind that.
Right.
But obviously, given where Governors are in the league,
you'd favour Malou, wouldn't
you? Yeah, it depends. I suppose it depends on who Malou have got available, because obviously they're a bit quite a few signings.
Yeah,
they are. As you confirmed last week, Andy Glover has officially retired. Yeah.
And Ferby has started the season at Malou. Now he's back at Governors Athletic, and he's facing Malou. So I'd put a pound on him to score.
Yeah, I think he scored last week as well. So yeah, he'll be on the
field. Daniel Thirlwell. There you go. Any bookmakers taking first goal scorers could be worth a quid there.
Just before we move on, because Dave Matson's probably already typing up his complaint as we speak. Foxdale didn't lose to D&D this season, but they did last season.
Right, so that was early on.
Yeah, so sorry, Dave, I've got my seasons mixed up there.
Who wouldn't?
Well, yeah.
Cannon Life Premier League, there's four games going ahead on Saturday. Of course, the Isle of Man under-18s are in FA County Youth Cup action on Saturday night. We'll talk about that briefly in a few minutes. Big game you're going to, Dave. Peel versus Rushen.
Yeah.
Big for many reasons, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Old Firm derby always is big. Peel, I think it's only their second game back at their spiritual home, but also...
Third, I think.
Is it third? Mm-hmm. But they're going to be opening the newly refurbished Terry Vincent stand.
Yes.
So I'll be along for that. There's going to be a little ceremony before kickoff.
Half one, I think that kicks off.
It is, so I think there should be quite a good turnout down there for that. So
will that give them an incentive to get the win?
I think so. I mean, obviously these sides met on the opening day of the season, and the big shock, because you were at that game.
Yeah, Rushen won, but Peel actually probably had the better of the game.
And the big announcement beforehand was that Josh Kelly had
Yes, of course. Messiah returned to Port Erin in dramatic fashion, as you know, as you would expect from Josh.
Exactly.
This one. I'm going to sit on the fence and go for a draw. Harry, you know, you've obviously played. You trained in the Premier League before. It's a big game. This is a big game, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a tough one to call because I think both sides are very evenly matched. I mean, if you look at Peel, for example, out wide, they've got Lee Gale and Matty Skillicorn. That's as good as anything on the island. Then you look at Rushen, they've got Steve Ryden and Jack Saxon. Mm. That, again, is as good as anything on the island. I think they're just two very well evenly matched teams. I think where one team shades it over the other is maybe Rushen up front. You know, they've got Mike Williams, Josh Kelly, you know, so I don't think Peel have a strike. Well, Peel got Sean Kelly, and yeah. Sean is a tremendous player. It's a tough one to call, really.
I think Kez Christian's been a big miss for them, but he turned back out for the combi, I think, last week before, okay. So he's on his way back to fitness. Yeah. Don't know whether it's come too soon this match. But,
yeah.
And then you look at Peel, they've got Dom. Yeah. Dom's literally the best defender I've ever seen over here. I would have to go for a draw, really. I'm just going to set the fence as well, draw.
Score draw.
I was thinking who would be in net for Peel because I know Christian Penzick was in that.
Yeah, Owen's back now. I think he was away for that week. Yeah, Christian played against St George's. Yeah.
Well, air legend, of course.
Yeah. Well, if Christian was in there, I would have said maybe. No, I think I'm going to give it to Peel. As Harry said, Rushen have got a great team and great strikers and wingers and stuff. I just think Sean up front, I know I played with him throughout my entire junior life, and I don't think there's a more fierce compare than Sean, and I think...
And his throws, flipping heck.
Yeah, his arms get tired by the end of the game. Yeah. I think I remember one game where he said, I can't do anymore, because he just abused the throw. But it's an asset, isn't it, that throw? It's like a corner, and I think teams see that throw and they think, oh...
They start panicking. Yeah. Does spark panic. You see people trying to mark space, or they don't know whether to mark the man of the space, and then the keeper's got to make him clear he's going to come for the ball or whatever. It is, as you say... It sparks panic. And what, Davey, what are you going to say?
I think Peel might just sneak this. It's obviously going to be close, though.
Of course, this game doesn't count towards Railway Cup qualification because technically it's a second half of the season fixture. We must touch on that. The Railway Cup final has already been postponed because the teams like Rushen have already played six. And
the Geordies as well.
How many weeks to Christmas? Scare me now.
It's a month tomorrow, isn't it? So,
That's going to be played in the new year now. So, confusingly, we're going to have two league tables running shortly.
Yeah.
We won't know. This point won't count towards that.
It won't. But it does add a bit of extra spice to it. This is Old Firm, obviously, so it's going to be good.
Yeah. Corinthians Douglas Athletic looks another close game to me, Dave. Douglas Athletic, one of the form teams on the moment. Four wins on the bounce.
I spoke to Matty Quirk at the Island match last week, and he was full of praise. He said could have been an even bigger scoreline except for the Colby keeper.
Right.
Got a team of the week this week.
Adam Kinvig, youngster.
But the reverse fixture, Corinthians won this 1-0. But that one apparently could have gone either way, so I expect a similar game. And it wouldn't surprise me if Athletic got something out of this, possibly a draw.
If Corinthians drops points, Harry, do we think we might as well give St George's a title now?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Corinthians can afford to lose another game, to be honest with you. If they want to maintain like realistic ambitions of winning the league. Going back to the Corinthians Douglas Athletic game from the start of the season, Douglas Athletic, in my opinion, is the hardest away game on the island.
Yep.
I hate playing them away. Hate it. It's a tight pitch. They play the pitch really well. It's usually always boggy, and I cannot stand playing away there. But going back to this week, I'd have to give it to Corinthians. Corinthians have got a great side. You know, they are an absolutely brilliant side, a young side as well. And if they stay together, they're just going to mature together, get better and better. And obviously, they got Sean Doyle up front, and what a player he is. You know, Steve Whitley's really coming to his own this year as well. Connor Gorman just keeps him ticking over. And then they've got like a solid back four as well. I'd fancy Corinthians to win quite comfortably, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think
I stumbled across the Athletics training session last night. Brian Popeye Gartland had them out running, so I'm guessing he's got a plan for Saturday. He usually does. He keeps them tight though. He's going to make it hard for Corinthians to play through him, isn't he?
They're not a bad side at all. They're not a bad side, but I just think in terms of quality, Corinthians do have much more quality than Douglas Athletic do. But they are a very like workmanlike side. You know, we've always had a tough game against them.
Rory?
I agree. Going from what I played, obviously a couple of seasons ago, I'd say probably Corinthians, just from the guys that they've got.
Yeah.
Probably their back four, probably pretty strong, isn't it? So yeah. I'd go off that.
Cam Lee obviously played for the Alaman FA side last week, didn't he? So yeah. And they got a few others in and around that squad. But I think this is, we've already touched on, these are the games you've got to win
if
you're going to be in the mix at the end of the season. So an interesting watch up at Bella Fletcher. In the new stand as well there, Louis' stand's obviously finished up there. So
it's fantastic.
Some comfort for people up at Bella Fletcher. Geralt the Gael. Right, Colby St Mary's. Colby, where do we start with them? They're just... It's going wrong at a spectacular rate of knocks, isn't it?
Yeah, they're staring down the barrel, by all accounts.
Technically, though, third bottom at the moment.
Exactly. So, by all accounts, I think they struggled in the first half against Douglas Athletic last week. Second half, they put a spirited performance in, and it might just give them a little bit of confidence. But St Mary's, though, obviously they've struggled, but Alex Harrison's come in, taken over, and they've won 2-2.
The elbow factor is sweeping through. They won both games under his temporary charge. Mm. Colby, they're just not scoring goals, are they? I think they've scored 3 in their last 6 or something.
One of those was a penalty last week. So,
if you're not scoring goals, Harry, it's not good news, is it?
It's not, and we're finding that out at the minute.
So I think we're all going for an away win in this one.
Yeah, I've been in Colby's position, with Yuffie, and it's not a great feeling going on there on the pitch on a Saturday.
Yeah, backs against the wall. So.
Definitely.
So. Should you already start thinking we're going to lose this one?
I think it depends on the mindset of the players, isn't it? I mean, for myself, I always thought personally I could do a good performance and try and win the game, but I think it is tough when like the majority of the squad might think you're going to go into it losing it.
I think they've struggled a bit with what you guys as well. They've had getting a settled 11 out. I know Matty Cugini started in goals away at the moment in Australia. Adam Kabigley seemed to have found another goalkeeper but it's going to be a tough game on Saturday.
Very,
I think I favour St Mary's, especially with their tails up.
Steve Priestnell's back and forth now.
So. Yeah, another of your old clubs, Harry. St George's, they host St John's at Glen Country Road. Now, Geordies have only played 6, got 100% record. They need to, these are the games, they've got to play catch up and start, catching up with the rest, really, haven't they?
They do sometimes say that, playing catch up is the hardest, like psychologically, to get yourself up for it, but
not for St George's.
They will be firm favourites to win this, but St John's are a tough team to play against.
A bit like Douglas Athletic in a way, aren't they?
St John's are a good side. They are a very good side. The two centre-backs for them, Sam Ingham and Nick Bloom, are two really good players. And Sam is unbelievably fast. Unbelievably fast for a centre-back. Obviously, they've got like Reece Oates there playing as well. And they've got Chaddy and Johnny Holland in centre midfield. So they are a very, very tough side to beat. Playing for them against St Mary's, we always had some right battles against them. Right, and it was one of them games where it was like a really good win if you did win, because you had to work so hard for it. You had spent large parts of it defending, just battling. I expect them to put up a fight, but you can't really see past St George's.
I think we'll agree with that one. But it was 6-2, I think, the reverse fixture at the start of the season. St John's has seemingly tightened up a bit since then. And Damo's back now, isn't he?
He's back from his finger injury, I believe. So he's a huge plus for them.
Massive. So I think it won't be, maybe the winning margin won't be quite as big.
No, but word of warning, Fura was in unstoppable form for the Island last week, so he's obviously second highest scorer in the league.
He's some player, and he's an absolute machine.
Yeah, hard to play.
Big lad, and he's so fast.
Yeah.
You can hit a ball. Yes. You don't want to get in the way of one of them.
Rory, would you have this as a home win on your coupon?
Yeah, definitely. I think...
Or accumulator, as the kids say.
I think you touched on it before that George's only played 6 games, but I think that could probably work in their favour because they've got something to chase, even though they haven't lost the game, so there's a bit of pressure because they're playing catch-up. But there's not many situations where they're like, well, I don't know where they are on the table, but they're not top. So at least they know that they're somewhere to go. There's like, they've got a name, haven't they?
Yeah.
And like you said, it's George's.
Yeah. Last game on the card on Saturday. 6:30 kickoff for me. A bit past my bedtime this one day.
Oh,
the Alabama FA under-18s take on holders of the FA County Youth Cup. Middlesex in the competition's third round at the bowl. Hopefully get a good, decent crowd in, although it'll be starting to clash with the wind times X-Factor start, 7 o'clock, and Strictly will be on as well.
Well, I believe, I haven't watched...
Absolute nightmare this from Meps.
But I think Sam Black's out of X-Factor now, isn't
he? Oh,
so
it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah.
He switched the lights on in Douglas last night.
There you go. It's a fame at last.
Who are they getting to switch Ramsey on, or is that that's tonight as well, isn't it, then?
I think it's a secret, isn't it?
Is it a secret? Agent Rashid, is he going to be here?
I wouldn't know.
No, well, there we go. Well, if Agent Rashid, that I'll get my vote, I'll probably see if, or tweet him this afternoon, see if he fancies the job. Just getting off the fact slightly. But yeah, the third round tie, this is going to be a tough one for Lewis's boys, though, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. But I mean, I was there for the first round match, obviously winning extra time, but you were there for the second round.
Comfortable win over Lancashire, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, because they lost to Lancashire last year, didn't they? So that would be a huge confidence boost for them.
They're growing into it, is that, you know, they've got some great technical players. Sid Batty is a tremendous talent, I think, in midfield. Johnny Quirk could finish it. At the back, Carlo Craig, it looks, and Andy Burkett,
they
look solid. I have to say, I was a bit... mystified the other day when I saw James Rice had scored for Onken.
Goalkeeper extraordinaire.
But he was actually playing outfield for the first team, I think he does, doesn't he?
Well, he's following in Andy Ball's footsteps, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But since Onken seems to have a habit of making goalkeepers play outfield, because Andy Ashbridge plays outfield for Onken, having played in goal for some reason when you were there. So
yeah.
I don't know what Tristan's doing or Dave Reese are doing up there.
As always with the Youth Cup, we don't really know too much about the opposition.
No.
We know Middlesex will be a good side, being the holders, but...
They won it last year, but that may mean that that lot were older and now have come out. But they're in the third round as well, so this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to go home win.
Okay, yep, me too.
Lads?
I'm going to go home win. It's purely because I want them to win and do well. Shamefully, I haven't been down to see them. Mm. And really, probably should make more of an effort to go and see them. But, yeah... Home advantage, come home win.
Right.
Home win, confidence from the first two games, I think, at home, weren't they? So.
Confidence does wonders, doesn't it?
So, yeah.
There we go. Right, Dave, drum roll, Combi Corner.
Well, you know, we've already stolen the thunder with Youthy, but I have to start with Youthy. They're absolutely flying still. 10 wins out of 10. Beat Foxdale 10-0 last week. Martin Murphy, who he likes to annoy you in training, doesn't he, by reminding you. But yeah, he scored 4 goals. Andrew Feeney got a hat-trick as well. Which all means they've now scored 82 goals this season in their 10 games, conceding just 12.
So 8.2 goals a game, that average, though.
Some average. And it's even better at home. They've scored 50 of those goals in their 5 matches at home.
Wow.
So average of 10 goals, which is pretty impressive. The second closest, the nearest rivals at Onken, they've got 54 goals after 11 games.
So you're telling me Youthy are the highest goal scorers in Europe?
Yeah, totally.
You can comment, right? Go on.
Also have to mention D&D Combi. Had a tweet from Dave Matheson about this.
He did?
They beat Foxdale 4-2, thanks to goals from Rick Radcliffe, who got 2. 17-year-old Joe Kenya got his second in 2 matches, good for him, and Andrew Dosser. So it means now that they've beaten last season's total with more than half the season still to go. So
good on you, D&D.
They're flying at the moment. Now, we've already mentioned...
Second page, go on.
Russian, still flying, a bit like Youthy.
Yeah.
They've taken another big step towards the title. They maintained their own 100% record. With 11 wins from 11, thanks to a big 5-1 victory at home to Corinthians, who are obviously second in the league.
Yeah, massive win, that.
Jamie Johnston continuing his return from injury with another brace. Andy Moody, Tommy Doherty and Ryan Crawley got the goals. So
all four of them, you wouldn't look out of place in the first team, really, would they?
Exactly. So as a result, they've stretched their lead to 9 points, but they have played 2 games more. But it is a big step and possibly a psychological advantage for them.
Andy Moody probably scored more combination goals than anyone else, we say.
We should get Eric on that stat to find out. But so Corinthians and Old Boys are joint second. Old Boys beat Geordie 3-1 last week, so to make it 8 wins from 9. So they're having a good season as well.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Dave. Before we go, Connor Doyle, our sole listener in the United Arab Emirates, has just a quick mention. He plays for a team now called Slug and Goats FC.
Mm.
Have you seen this on Facebook?
Yeah.
They're top of their league at the moment. Mm. Which is he scored a hat-trick in the week, so well done, Connor. Any more far-flung people we should mention, Dave?
Oh, there's always some, but I can't remember.
We won't mention Kieran Tini's performance this week.
Yeah, 7-1.
7-1 against... The problem was they went 1-up.
Yeah.
They just angered Paris Saint-Germain. And then luckily, he didn't have to man-mark Neymar. They gave that job to James Forrest, I think.
So. Yeah, I think as well.
That was their problem. They should have got Kieran to do it, shouldn't they?
Exactly. They lost Lustig to injury, I think, early on when it was still 1-0 or 2-1. So, There you go.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us in the Traff pool room.
Thanks for having us.
Hang on, I'm just looking out the window. That looks like a wintry shower.
I hail that.
No. It doesn't rain in Ramsey.
Good luck on Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks
also, if he's maybe listening through the ceiling, to Ben and the guys at the Traff for putting us up today. It was we need to do this more often, though.
That's a lovely point I've just had.
Yeah, we can't do every podcast in the Traff. We might have to. Maybe you could broaden our horizons to public houses around the Isle of Man.
We're open to suggestions. So, absolutely.
Right.
Next stop, the Mitre.
Yeah. Remember, you can listen to. Is that just on the way back to work?
Yeah.
Remember, you can listen to all of Manx Footy Pods at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on that there iTunes for those of you that way inclined. Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.